Father, we pray for blessing on our neighbors, blessing in our fellowship this morning, blessing in our by the ministry of Christ, the churches, pastors, their wives, their work. We pray for Your Spirit to bring the word in Florida, in the islands. We pray for healing, restoration, and turning hearts to You, turning our nation, hearts of many, to You, Lord. That's what we need, healing in our hearts, new heart, and a heart after You. Bless this message and every person here by Your anointing, by the Holy Spirit. Jesus, amen. You may be seated. Tonight I would like to speak on seeking God. It'll be tonight, but I'm going to speak on it now. Also, but seeking God, and I have some thoughts about it and want to share with you this morning about seeking God. It's underestimated what it means when somebody seeks God and they find Him. Many of us know about God, and some of us who are in the ministry for decades can, in a sense, lose God. I can lose God. Like, He's always with us, and He'll never lose us. He saves us, and we are secure. Good to see Renee and Debbie too, Renee, and others from Florida that are up here with us. Anybody else? Raise your hand. Okay. There were this morning a couple. So good to have you, and we're with you and praying for all the folks down there. I walk with God for decades, let's say, and then I get used to or familiar with what I do in the ministry. Counseling, praying for people, preparing messages, preaching messages. But then I could actually, in a sense, I lose God. I lose the Spirit of God, the anointing of God in my life. And I have found that. That's why I'm sharing with you, talking with you from my heart this morning. It happens. It's the nature of our life. We have a sin nature that is in our hearts. We have an old heart and a new one. And we will turn with me to look at First Chronicles, actually Ecclesiastes is a verse, the first one. Ecclesiastes chapter 3. Verse 11, Ecclesiastes 3:11. This will be encouraging to us today. This message, our prayer is, it's amazing. It's amazing. Chapter 3, verse 11. He has made everything beautiful in His time. You can read this out loud with me. Ready? He has made everything beautiful in His time. Also, He has set the world in their heart. Now in the Hebrew, this word world is actually olam, and it means eternal. He has set eternity in their heart. When he made man so that man would be fitting with eternity. Or we could say God and man, they fit together. God put in our heart the eternal. We are hungry for it, not really satisfied until I can find the eternal. I want it. I kind of feel sometimes the reason why people go to the ocean and look at the ocean that has no end in their perspective, and you look at the ocean and somehow it ministers to you because you think of that which has no end. And the stars, same reason. You look out, the stars are just going and going and going. It's as if it has no end. And in my heart, I'm made for the eternal. I actually want to live forever. I asked a taxi driver in Russia, would you like to live forever? He said, no. Absolutely not. I can only take this so much. I can only go so far in this life. Thank you, no, I don't want it. And I said, no, I mean eternally perfect, eternally satisfied, eternally gratified, eternally righteous like God is. He goes, yes, I would like that. We are made for that. It's in our heart. When God made Adam and Eve, listen to this part. When God made the garden and the Adam and Eve, and he put them there, and he basically said, he made all these trees for them to eat from. And actually, he is saying, eat it all. I made you to eat it all. Like you can eat all the trees and eat and eat and eat. One commentator brought it out that it was like eat and eat and eat. God did not make us that we would suffer, but he made us so that we would enjoy him and creation. But one tree you cannot eat from, like all these trees, but one. And you know, guess what? Okay. We gravitate to the one. The devil brought Eve there, and we know what happened. She ate, Adam ate, and the heart of man became, as we draw the picture in Bible psychology class, that the heart became empty without God, with a big hole in it. How big is that hole? Eternal. Eternal. Nothing fits there. You put something, a lawn chair you buy in Target, and you put it in there, and you sit in your lawn chair, and you go, this is like heaven on earth for a few seconds or minutes. Or you look at the starry heavens, and it's amazing, and somehow you feel a connection, and you worship God, and then it's gone. And I don't know about you, but sometimes I return the next night looking for the same kind of experience. And I go the next night to see the full moon and get that feeling or sense, and I go there and it's empty. Creation is not enough to satisfy the heart of man. But instead we have what we call lust patterns. And there are three major ones that we have. And if you want to memorize or remember them, they can best be remembered by three men's lives in our Bibles. They are Cain, Balaam, and Korah. And if you are a Bible reader, and many of you are, and you are reading your Bible little by little, like many of us do. And by the way, that's the best way, prayerfully, on your knees, reading your Bible, sitting in a chair in quiet with divine, what we call divine concentration, prayer. I had a time Friday where I took some hours in prayer. And I have a little room in my house, and there's nothing there except a rug, a desk, a lamp, and a chair. And nothing on the wall, nothing there, and just sit there and I'm quiet and seeking God. Seeking God. What does it mean? Well, this is what we are explaining this way in our message this morning, and follow it with me. Because I have this lost nature, I have this design in my soul to seek other things but not God. Like these three men that are listed up on our screen there. Cain had two kinds of lusts. He had religious lust. Cain had religious lust. He worshipped and sacrificed to God, but he was not humble. Cain offered the vegetables, the agriculture of his produce, productive living. What he did, he offered it unto God in a religious way and was so saddened that he couldn't find the satisfaction. And it said his countenance was fallen. Why didn't he find the satisfaction in his religion? Because his religion was rooted in his self-life, his religious lust, his need for recognition, which is another lust that he had. We have six, three men, each have two major lust patterns in their soul. One, the religious lust, and the other one, approbation lust. Approbation is the desire to be recognized. I have a lust to be recognized by my fellow men. I have a desire for people to put my name in the newspaper or on a brick in the center of the town or the village, or to drive a car and that people will talk about my nice car when I come to church in the morning, or the clothes I wear, job I have, degrees that I attain. Whatever it might be, we all know what it is to go into a room and look for people to recognize us and our importance. It's called approbation. If I can be known in the club, if I can be known in the golf club, the flower club, the political world, in my circle at the university, if I can be known and recognized, then I will be satisfied. But it's nothing more than another little morsel of this world trying to fit into my heart. And yet I lost for those things. You know, you're following it with me. Balaam had two lust patterns. He had a sensual lust pattern. He taught the Jewish people fornication, and he had material lust, for he wanted money in order to curse Israel. The king Barak offered money to Balaam, and he said, let's go look into this. I don't think I can curse Israel. I have to say what the Lord says, but I definitely want your money. He taught idolatry and fornication, sensuality and material lust. Why don't people seek God? Because we're seeking these other things. We know what it is. But there's two more that are interesting, and I know we're running through them. Each one is a message. Korah was the rebel against Moses, and God managed to get 250 princes to collaborate with him in conspiracy against the leader of the Jewish people, Moses. They came out of Egypt by the high and powerful, mighty hand of God, and it wasn't human reason that brought them out. It was the power of God. But Korah is a man of human reason. And he's saying, by reason, I realize that we are in the wrong place. We are in the wilderness. We will die out here. But Moses is saying, no, playing this out in a theatrical way. Moses is saying, wait a minute. He didn't say anything, actually, but I know we're saying what the position is. When I seek God, I find something more than human reason. Human reason says this should not happen. And we say, no, wait a minute, be very careful, because we are seeking God. Well, yes, I am seeking God also. Of course, I know that. I believe in God and so on. And we say, no, we are talking about something that is very sacred. And you cannot just talk about it like that. Say, like with a spirit of arrogance, or like putting this and saying and mocking, or I'm having some attitude. This is not what we're saying today. We're saying Korah has an intellectual lust. I used to live in Europe. About 20 years I've lived there. And the churches are largely empty. The preachers, there is not much preaching. The formality of organized state religion educates men to be psychologists and administrators and intellectuals and masters of Greek and Hebrew language and so on. And they go to their pulpits with their boring and dull commentary on politics and sociology and so on, and so the churches are empty. Christ said, you will know the tree by its fruit. And if a man, and I'm saying it's very easy, but if a man or a woman of God seeks God, they will find him. And there will be something different. It'll be not the lust of the heart of men. No, it'll be the satisfaction where God himself satisfies you and you drink of that fountain that is satisfying. Okay. Korah had power lust, two of them. Korah had intellectual lust, and he definitely wanted to be the leader. He had a power lust. Balaam, the sensual lust and material, in terms of materialism, and Cain, religious lust and approbation lust. Okay. You can't read my writing, but I did it slow just and said it just so you can ponder it, think about it. Six lust patterns that are common in our hearts, in our world. Maybe you don't have an intellectual lust, but you have a sensual one. Maybe you don't have a religious love, but you have an approbation, a need to be recognized or important in this life, and so on. And if you take every one of those lusts and you bring Jesus Christ next to it, and you say, Jesus, do you need to be noticed? And you say, no, God is my satisfaction. I'm serious. He's saying God, in the presence of God, there is a fullness of joy. If you hang around me, you will find freedom and joy and peace and satisfaction. Yeah, Jesus, we've noticed that about you. Like, you're not really particularly religious. Actually, those people are kind of angry with you. Yes, but I have my Heavenly Father who made whales and colors like yellow and bright blues and pinks and reds and does things that are out of the ordinary, that He made the universe. He made the seas and the birds and the navigational devices, the systems and fish and birds and insects. You should know God. He is holy. He is free. He is powerful. You should seek God. Well, Lord, what are we seeking? He would say, you are seeking the sex life. This is a whole subject, the sex life. Why are people drawn to the sex life? It's kind of a transcendental experience. It's kind of something out of the ordinary. It's something that that people are looking for that is not reason alone, but it's more love or abstract or something out of the box. It's an experience in your nervous system. It's something that is like not just it's out of the ordinary. Imagine God made sex. What if I would know the God that made sex, and that God has promised to satisfy me deeply, to give me His Holy Spirit, which is a Holy Spirit. That means there is something particularly unique about God in regards to this world. He is not any spirit. He is the Holy Spirit. He is the one that this is what we're made for. Remember I said in the beginning that there's a hole there. And now we are living in these lust patterns, seeking and searching for what it is that we are made for. And we look in all the wrong places. But I have found Him recently. In the Friday at home, in the prayer and quietness. Absolute, amazing quietness and a prayer like this in my heart. With all my heart, God, I don't care about anything. You, only You, with all my heart. Now, don't misunderstand me. I've got 4 children, 7 grandchildren. I got a lot to worry about. I got churches in Hungary, churches in Finland that we have planted through the years with leaders and pastors and people. We have an amazing church here in Baltimore in our affiliation. We have questions and problems and things. We have a Bible college that is so much of God. And you know what? All of it would be overwhelming except for this reason. When we find God, it is easy. God, it says, the greatest commandment, and the first one, is to love Him. Love Him how? Not in words only, but with all our heart, all our mind, all our soul, all our strength. But I don't have anything in me. The gas tank is empty, and God is saying, great, what are you going to do about it? Well, I'm going to go out to the Walmart. Go out for a swim. Go look at porn. I'm going to go to the movies. I'm going to dull my pain by my running around with the lust patterns of my old man. And the Lord said, after you do that for some minutes, hours, weeks, months, years, when you get tired of it and you're really empty and you want me, I am a merciful God. I am a forgiving God. I am a mighty God. And you confess your sin before me. And your great sin is that you don't care about the one that made the universe. You more care about the universe than you care about me that made it. You care more about your life than you care about me. And I am the God of your life. I am the one that will satisfy you. I am the one that, I am the answer. I am the Alpha and Omega. I'm the beginning and the end. I am the door, the way, the rock. I'm the food, the bread, the water. Seek me. Listen to these verses. Please, 1 Chronicles 16:11. Seek the Lord and His strength. Seek His face continually. Remember, Moses saw the back of God. That's how some people live. They just see the afterglow. They don't really care about the face. But here it says, seek the face. That's what happens to you. You know, when you put it all down, listen to this one. Now set your heart and your soul to seek the Lord your God. Prepare yourself to seek him. And this is how it goes. I come home and I have a lot of stuff, but I prepare myself to seek God. I'm preparing myself. I go, I would like to seek God. Yeah, but you've been with God through the day. Yes, I know. But now I'm looking for God. I really am. I'm going to prepare my heart for it. And I just take some time. I might even go for a walk and talk and think about it. God, I prepare my heart to seek you. I'm taking care of all the garbage. You've taken care of all the stuff. You wash my feet. You care about me. And I am in my heart. I am seeking you. And I accept by your love and your grace, I will find you. I'll be refreshed in your presence. I'll read some of these. It says, Thou, Solomon, my son, know the God of your father. Serve him with a perfect heart and with a willing mind. What happened to Solomon? Women. Hundreds of them. Because he's a king. He's got the power. He can call a woman into his chamber in a second. One after the other. One after the other. Is that heaven on earth? Sounds like hell on earth. Sounds like that's no party. That's no picnic. That's no satisfaction. To live like a dog. To live like something less than what you are designed for. The greatest thing in this world is when a man is saying in his heart, there's nothing here that will ultimately satisfy me, that will fill me and give me what it is that I really am made for, except God, God, and God alone. You got to get this straightened out. It's Christianity 101. It's like there are many people that are dissatisfied as believers, and they go around grumbling and complaining about this and that, and they haven't had a time with God and the Holy Spirit. They haven't been sitting in his presence, eating that bread, and deeply satisfied at that amazing well. But he said to Solomon, David said it, and with a willing mind, the Lord searches all hearts and understands all the imaginations of the thoughts. You know, you can't have your girlfriend and God in your heart at the same time unless she is the one that God has given you and you're going to marry her and make a commitment. You see, there's something about life that the world doesn't know about. They want this life to happen without God. They want you to be filled with your own ways. Proverbs 14:14. The backslider in heart is filled with his own ways. Tonight, I'm just going to take us two sponges. I'm going to have a bucket of dirty water and a bucket of clean water. And I'm going to say, here's the sponge that goes in the dirty water, it will be filled with the dirty water. And so the backslider is filled with his own ways. No wonder when you squeeze him, the garbage comes out. No matter when a Christian gets in trouble, nothing much comes out except dirty water, because he is filled with his own ways. But when Christ comes in, fills you with the Holy Spirit, you and the doctrine and the people and the purpose and the plan, then you get filled with him. And then when you are squeezed, what comes out? The content, the reality, the edification. And somebody says, whoa, that guy's got something going on in his life. I woke up this morning praying for all the people in Florida that are in those shelters. Can you imagine sleeping in a high school on a cot with 1,000 other people in the gymnasium? And I was thinking, if the sponge is filled with clean water and it's squeezed, something good will come out in that gymnasium. But I was also thinking, if I'm filled with my own ways, it could be pretty tense experience. So we pray, of course, you know what's needed in our country? Turn it off, turn it off, shut it down, get quiet, get serious, go after God, seek Him, you will find Him. Wow, that's amazing. That's why people, I mean, I meet them all the time. I met people that have been in this church. I met them and they are filled with their own ways. And I don't know, I'm not their judge, but I can just sense. I mean, in principle, I know what it is because I know it in my own heart. I know what it is when we are filled with our own ways. But I also love this. It says, but Hezekiah prayed, the good Lord pardon everyone that prepareth his heart to seek God, the Lord God of his fathers, though he be not cleansed according to the purification of the sanctuary. He's saying, even if things aren't done according to law, may God bless these people that are seeking him with all their heart. He knew God is a God of grace. Psalm 105, seek the Lord in his strength. Seek his face evermore. Listen to this. Psalm 119, verse 2. Blessed are they that keep his testimonies and that seek him with the whole heart. Do you know what? There's two kinds of Christians. There are people that seek God and they find him and then they love this book. It'll get in you when you have the love of God and he wrote the book. And you'll love the book. Give me a message, not from you, but from the book. Give me a message. You don't have to talk to me. I can hear that on the radio and the TV all day long. I could hear people all day long. But give me a message from the book. Because the love of God, the Spirit of God dwells in us. And he wrote the book. There you go. That'll change life. That'll change a heart. That'll feed a soul. That'll build us up. That'll give us a vision. But here's the other side of it. When you're a Christian and this book just sits for weeks and months and you go like this. I understand this. You go to this. I got to read the Bible. You go to read the Bible. You're so filled with your stuff. I can't even read it. I'm reading. It doesn't matter. I don't even know. I don't know where to start. It's big, thick. Book. I don't know what I'm doing. I know I'm supposed to read. I don't understand it. It's kind of dull or boring. He begat. I don't get it. I don't know why anybody would be so excited about it, but it's a sacred book, and for religious reasons, I have it on my bookshelf, and that's the way it is. I'm that kind of a Christian. Can you find the Gospel of Matthew in your Bible? Can you find your favorite Bible verse? Can you find meditations? Can you find it? Could it even happen in your heart that you got so much the Holy Spirit affecting you and filling you that you could sit down and you start to get into it and realize, and it kind of goes into your memory, and you start to quote it and think about it, and it kind of starts to pulsate in your spiritual man, and you go, whoa, I got it. God is real, and he's giving me his word. Man, if that happens, you've got a sword of the Spirit. That happens. It says in Psalm 119, verse 10, with my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from your commandments. Verse 11, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against you. Thy words were found, and I did eat them. And they were the joy and rejoicing of my heart. Ezekiel says, God said, eat the scroll. And Ezekiel said, God said, eat the scroll. And then it says, and his spirit caused me to eat the scroll. The scroll was the ancient word for the scriptures, the roll, the Torah, the scroll, the scriptures. I ate it. And the Spirit caused me to eat it. Let me finish up. It says, those that seek me early shall find me. Yea, if you cry after knowledge and lift up your voice for understanding, if you seek her as silver and search for her as for hid treasures, then you shall understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. If you go after this like they do the treasure in the ocean. Remember that story about that Portuguese ship loaded with millions and millions of dollars worth of gold and silver and went down in the Indonesian Sea. And they've been trying to find it for years. One man, didn't he spend $20 million trying to find it? There are people that are trying to find treasure, trying to find an occupation, trying to find a wife or a boyfriend. They're trying to find a future or recognition, or they're trying to find success in life. You know, be successful. I got a better idea. Seek God with all your heart. Seek God and his ways. I got a better idea, not the flesh of man. I got a better idea. Seek God with all your heart and you will find him. And when you find him, it is like finding the knowledge of God is like finding treasure in the ocean. We have radio signals. We're going to finish. Are these devices on the planet trying to find radio waves out in the universe? Are there aliens, intelligent creatures that are civilized and transmitting signals in the universe? And we're so eager to find out if anybody's out there. Really? Yes, then we will have, or then that means, and so on. And it doesn't, I don't know, I cannot find the satisfaction that I'm looking for. I'm looking for the signals that come from our Creator, that put us here. But we are foolish. We are dumb sheep. We have gone our way. We are looking for this and that. And we're looking and we're lost and we're filled with our own ways. And we get more and more, actually some get more and more angry and frustrated. And then they get angry and frustrated with themselves than with their neighbors. And the Bible says in the end times, because of iniquity increasing, then the love of many will get cold. Cold love. That means, I love you, but don't bother me. I love my neighbor, but I'd hope I'd never see him. I love the people in Florida, but leave me alone. I got my own problem. I love the girl, but, you know, it's for 3 months. And then I'm cold. I don't really love. Why? Because iniquity in my heart is filling my life. I'm filled with my own ways, and my life is all about me. It's about me from beginning to end. My life, my ways, my integrity, my reputation, my life, and are you sick of it? Am I sick of it? Yeah, how about in the ministry? It could be about me or about this and all about me or however we want to say it. Just very plainly, it can be like that. Or us, or no, I know it can, but that will never satisfy the human heart. It's fun to think about it. Prepare your heart to seek for him. There's no fooling around with God. He's pretty awesome. It's like, I know, God says, I know. You're hiding from me, I know. I know everything. I know everything. I know all about you. I know it all. And you're not coming to me. You're not coming to me. No, I'm angry with you. I know you're angry with me because your brother died or your mother died or you lost your job. I know all that. But are you just going to come eat crow, eat humble pie, lose your life, submit down, get down before me at the cross where I suffered and paid the whole thing so that you could go free? Will you come to me and kind of give me your baggage and give me your life and give me all your stuff? And I will fill you and satisfy you. I will give you, teach you knowledge. I will anoint you. I will satisfy you. And I remember years ago up in Maine when I got water baptized, actually. It happened many different times, but I got water baptized that night, and I was laying in bed. I was so spiritually excited. I couldn't sleep. I was just so excited. God was real for me. I was so excited. It was like Jesus. I don't know about my future. I don't know what's going to happen. I'm 19 years old. I found Jesus is real for me. And I never want to lose this, Lord. You are, and may I always rehearse that. Go back to this whole thing, because it is easy. It is easy. Give me your heart. Trust me. Okay. Amen. Would you pray with me? There's somebody here this morning. We are all about your good, your best. We're all about telling you the answer. We are all about pointing you to the right, to the only person. We are all here. It's all about that. We aren't anything. None of us. No, we're nothing. But Jesus came for this. He says to you, come to me. Come to me with everything. Bring all your baggage. Bring all your sin. Take it all. Carry it. Just collapse in front of me. I will take and lift you up. I will wash you clean. I will save you by my grace. You can never do this. I must do it for you. I must wash your feet. I died on the cross for you. I must save you. There is no one that could save you. You are lost and on the way to hell, a very real reality. It is a lie, eternity without God, hell, a real place. That's where the unbeliever, the wicked, the perish, those filled with their own ways, their own life, their own insistence on how life is supposed to be revolving around them. But surrender, believe, ask him, trust him, and say, Jesus, save me. It's between you and God. This is a service, and we are not saying this for any other reason, but it's real. And we are wanting you to believe in Jesus Christ personally. And we're asking you to say that prayer. It's between you and God. But he said, to as many as receive me, to them I give power to become the sons of God. In John 1:12. And just say yes to Jesus. Raise your hand. Anyone? And the ushers will give you a book of thank you, sir. There's a hand there. Anyone else over here? Raise your hand. Anybody? Just say yes to Jesus. Yes to Jesus. Anyone? Yep. Anyone at all? Yes to the Lord. Okay. Tonight we'll do the second part of that message on seeking him in Jesus' name. Amen. Mm-hmm.